This is the Life Hustle Be Positive podcast in association with Cork's Red FM. My name is Eam Romani and I'm one half of the Life Hustle project. The aim of the Life Hustle, why did we set it up day one? It was to use social media for social good, to uplift and inspire and present a more realistic, authentic viewpoint of everyday life and topics through social media. This episode, it's all about fashion and beauty. So it's Be in Fashion and Beauty. So obviously it's very close to my heart. If I could go back and talk to my 9-year-old self and say something, I would say, because at 9 I had scoliosis, I had been diagnosed with an S-shaped spine, a curve in my spine, and the specialist had said to my parents, you know, it's not, we don't know, will she grow yet until she hits puberty and we'll see how the spine goes with treatment. So if I could go back to my 9-year-old self and say, chill the beans, you're actually going to be a model, I would not believe you, I didn't even know if I would grow, and I'm 5'10". And then if I could go back to my 17-year-old self, I would say, don't worry about everything and everyone's impression of you. You're going to be approached by a model agent. Take the opportunity. Don't doubt yourself or double guess yourself. Do it, because you're going to end up owning an actual agency in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would have believed you if I said that. I said yes to everything all along the way. And fashion for me personally has bought me a business in lockdown models and PR. It's brought me so many amazing experiences and travel, work away, work here. But most of all, it's given me friends for life. And there aren't many jobs, I think, that we can say that about. So the reason I have these two guests with me is because I aspire, I've always looked up to them. I admire them hugely. They both work in the fashion and beauty industry. They both run fashion businesses. They've both travelled and worked abroad in fashion. They've studied in fashion and beauty, and they teach and train people to work in fashion and beauty too. Now, there's a mouthful. So, first up.
Is that me?
Yeah, I know. She's talking about you.
So
we have Pamela Morrissey. Obviously, these are my chattiest guests so far. I think this is going to be a long podcast. I better put the feet up for this one. So we have Pamela Morrissey, owner of Sovie Brown Hairstyling, and she's also, you see her on RTE Today Show. She does the hair for Maura and Dahi along with her team. And next to her, I have the gorgeous Natasha Crowley from F Stylists, Fashion Stylists. She is a stylist for Opera Lane. She does lots of online styling work for people. She produces shows for us and for lots of other people up and down the country. And she's a TV stylist. We see her on Ireland AM also. I know I've missed out on loads of things there because your CV is so long. That's enough for now. So girls, Pam, I'll start with you. What was it that sparked your interest and your love of hair when you were small? Is there one particular light bulb moment?
I think my mother used to go out a lot, and I remember being about maybe 9 or 10 and looking at her, her routine going out, if she was going out, was she used to put butter on her face as moisturiser, right?
Wow.
Because she was told by her in-laws, who would be my aunts, my dad's family, because they were all very glamorous women, and they used to, my auntie Peggy used to put butter on her face as moisturiser. So she told my mother when she was like 17 that you have to do this. So she used to put the butter on the face. Imagine it, like the smell and everything.
And but it's so natural if you think about it.
She didn't believe, my mother like doesn't believe in facials or anything like that. She just thinks they're a waste of money. Old school, like.
But I bet you she's lovely skin.
She does have good skin, actually. But she put the butter on, and then she'd put her makeup on or whatever, and then maybe one of her friends would call, and I used to be fascinated, and slowly but surely they used to let me do it, you know, and I'd make them over and do their hair and things like that. And I always loved that. I always loved kind of transforming people and, you know, fixing people up. And actually, even back then, I was quite good at it for a 9-year-old. You know what I mean? I remember actually looking, going, geez, I made her look way better. You know, like.
And tell me, was there anyone in your family who worked in that industry that you maybe subconsciously were kind of picking up on what they were doing?
Do you know, at the time, there wasn't actually. I can't think of any hairdressers in the family at the time, but my uncle had a girlfriend. Regina was her name. Regina O'Sullivan. I think she's two kids now.
She's everyone always has glamorous. Like a glamorous in-law.
They
She was so glamorous.
And the one.
She used to wear, I remember, she'd be laughing, she's listening, white white bell bottoms, right?
It's like with my runners. My aunt and all Liz, she used to wear white stilettos and I used to like rob them off her.
Yeah, the white. Yeah. Loads
that's
of makeup.
Back in now.
Yeah.
It is, yeah. Oh, it is.
I'm obsessed with white boots. There you go.
There you go.
But I remember she came down to do my mother's hair and I was just intrigued. And the very next day, I was only like 15. And the very next day, she was gorgeous now, right? And she had her false nails on and everything. She had her hair all backcombed and blonde and all her gear on. And I was sitting there going, Jesus, I just wanted to be her. Yeah. And the next day, the very next day, I got all ready. I was on my summer holidays and I was into Victor Frank's. And just walked in the door. I just literally walked in the door and I said, completely unexperienced. And I said, can I have a job? To the girl behind the counter.
So at 15 years of age, you had had this burning desire in you. You were like, nothing's going to stop me right here. I am going and I'm asking for a job.
And I was planning on going around town, actually.
Yeah.
Only that Lorraine actually said to me, she was at the desk at the time, and I say she was looking going, there's more to it now than that. Give me more of a sentence. Like, she said, sit down there 1 second. Coincidentally, they had been looking for somebody and Victor came out, this beautiful, beautiful man. He was actually, now what you're talking about there, he was this old, glamorous,
suave.
Yeah,
oh, I love it. Yeah.
He had white hair and he was balding at the top. And Victor Butler is his name, actually.
Okay.
And he was an old army barber and he just was, he was a granddad and a gentleman and a glamorous man all rolled into one. And he said, sit down there a second and I'll talk to you. And he was chatting to me anyway. And I remember saying, like, I just want to be a hairdresser. I'll just do whatever you want. I'll just do whatever you want. And he was like,
I on the prize.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And he said, listen, there's a bit more to it than that, but you can start next week if you want. He said, we'll take you on for the summer. And as a trial for a week. And sure, I gave it socks then for the week. And so that's where it all started. And I was supposed to go back to school on the September.
Yeah.
But I came into Victor and I cried and I said, I don't want to go back to school.
You just knew this is what you wanted to do.
So what he did is he called my mother and he said, he called a parent teacher meeting with my mother and she came in and he said, look, she doesn't want to go back to school because I was all right at school. I might have had dyslexic tendencies that I didn't know about. So I applied myself, but I was never great at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he called my mother and he said, look, if she's late or if she doesn't pull her weight, I'll let you know. And my mother called the school and back then, I think 15, maybe it was in the early 90s, 15 to leave school was a bit silly, I suppose. But and they did, it wasn't done a lot, but we just did it and it worked out. I went day to day and I swear, I always refer it back to Victor Frank's. It was the happiest, most hardworking place I ever was in my life.
That's amazing. For your first experience.
My first job, yeah. And he was
strict. But do you think that set the tone so for...
But you went out and you hustled for...
I hustled.
I did.
All about the hustle.
At 15, I hustled. Yeah. I was like, I'll do whatever you want. I'm getting this job.
But Pam, as you well know, like my sister is an amazing hairstylist, Aisling Kelleher. Mm. She has her own wedding blog and
she
was on your team at Sobey Brown
She's
as well.
She's a hustler.
Quite
she
a while. She's a good hustler.
I've
always admired her creativity and her skill and when we were smaller, she was really good at art. Mm. I would have been the book nerd and she, like, I was really bad at art and anything creative. And she, at home, we would have been polar opposites in that way. But I don't think it was harvested in school if you were creative.
Not
you
at
know,
all.
It wasn't. And I don't think back then, even now, with some families, some listeners might relate to the fact that maybe younger listeners might feel that they can't go home and say, I want to leave school and be a hairstylist.
Yeah.
I remember my sister, she had Chinese long black hair to her bum and she had asked. My grandfather was a barber in Balvihan and my aunt's a hairstylist. So it was in our blood to love that creative side of things, very much in Aisling's blood. And she literally one day, she'd asked and asked and she one day she just cut her hair into a bob herself. I think she was, I don't know, my dad and mum now would be able to confirm what age she was, but I think she was only like, you know, really young teenager.
Yeah.
And she just turned around to my parents and said, now do you believe me? I want to be a hairdresser. Are you listening to me now?
Look,
have I got
do.
Your attention?
Yeah.
Like, so she went and did hairdressing around the same age, Pam, and is still doing what she loves.
She worked in Perfect Match. She worked in Perfect Match. Don't you remember Perfect Match?
I do.
Happy Street.
They did my hair for my Debs.
Yeah. And that was one of the main places back in the day as well.
In town,
you know what I mean?
Like
to be in town, to be like, we were so proud to be in town and being a hairdresser back in the early 90s. You were like, I've made it. Yeah. This is where
doesn't
it's happening.
Get
like,
than yeah. This. But you know what? That's lovely to hear, because you were doing what you love. And we'll get into it now later, but I do think there's so much pressure on teenagers now to be academic, go to college, yeah. which is important if you're yeah. in certain
if
fields.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to be a doctor, if you want to be, you know, there are so many fields where yeah. you have to go to college at a young age and do your 3 years, yeah. 4 years, 6 years. But I don't think we are giving enough
we're not.
Kind of nurturing to
you
creative
know,
talent.
Eimear, I read a lot about this actually, and even for my own Rachel, she's kind of got the same.
How old is Rachel now?
She's 9.
Oh.
Yeah, and she's kind of got the same way of learning. I think I relate to the way she's learning at the minute, right? Because she's not your typical student. She wants the results and she works really hard. Mm. But she's not your typical academic studious child. You know okay. what I mean? We've to kind of be creative around how she takes in information.
Okay.
And there's a few different types of way of learning. Not many. There's like 3 or 4 different types yeah. of ways of learning. And school only holds the stage for one. You know
yes.
what I mean?
Schools now are all about like getting the result at the end of the day.
That's right.
Yes. All about yes. the process. Getting the A's, getting this. Mm. Like, when I think about it, it's like, I learned Irish, French, German. Can I speak a word of it now? No, because all yeah. I did was learn it to do an exam.
The
and
end
then
goal.
The exam was yeah. over and then
information
I'm like, and
gone.
It all flew out of my head.
Yeah.
I'm very like that. I'm like, yeah. I'll do the best I can to pass this exam. And then it's gone.
That's right.
But then aren't we putting pressure on teenagers if that's where the focus is, on the end result? You're actually living your life for tomorrow. You're not in the here and
absolutely.
Now. It's
yeah.
all about the journey. Yeah. Like, I look back at fails and yeah. things I didn't achieve in business and in fashion myself. Mm. And I can now see with hindsight, which is a marvelous thing,
yeah.
that was meant to be, because it made me stronger. It gave
was.
Me better insight. Yeah. You know, yeah. it taught me the business side.
Yeah. Like,
it's
you go back to me and Aisling there now in town, right? I remember every moment of it. I remember smells, because we were in the moment all the time, because you were so delighted to be in the situation you were in, taking everything in. Like at 15, do you know what I mean? And I think that's where your drive comes from. You remember that feeling and you want that feeling back all the time. Whereas what we're teaching kids to do now is, you're not enough. You're not enough being you at the minute. Yeah. You have to be better. You have to be better. You are enough. You're enough. Jesus.
You're enough, like, just being.
I'm talking about like, every child out there, you're enough. I was talking to a teacher recently and she said something about a child that she knew being an average. She'll be a great average person. And I went, there is absolutely no such thing as an average person.
No,
you do average things sometimes. You have average habits, but there's no such thing as an average person. And it breaks my heart that people like that are in charge of our beautiful children's minds.
And who decides that bar, that spectrum, that, like, well, you're up this end and you're down that end.
That's
who, like, we all have something to give. But it's like we're projecting on a certain, like we do kind of maybe project on a younger age group, society now in general, that they need to be achieving. They need to be good at
you
this.
Need to and be this like amazing level of thing. It's like
the best at
sometimes
everything.
Sometimes it's lovely just to be living your life.
Yeah.
Like sitting in bed. Like some days I'm there, Rob brings me a cup of tea in bed and I'm like, isn't this nice now?
Oh, that's because you're newlyweds. You're newlyweds now. She's showing
like,
off.
But like, just
I go
doing
back there.
like not even having to be like the most amazing and best person ever. It's like just relaxing and living and
Natasha,
enjoying it.
For you with that, with working in fashion, like your job is quite diverse.
Yes.
So but you have to go out and get a lot of the work yourself.
Oh my
so,
God. Hustle. You're
you are queen hustler.
Totally. Yeah.
But when did it all start for you? Was it in school? Were you arty and creative? Or?
Yes. So in secondary school, I was very arty. But I suppose I was kind of like academic as well. So I could have gone either way. So I remember my results came out and I'd applied to Crawford Art College. So I was like, will I go to Crawford? And I applied for like political studies in UCC.
Okay.
Okay. And then this career guidance counsellor was like, oh, it's an honour to be accepted into Crawford.
Wow.
Do it, blah, blah, blah. So I did 4 years there and I have to say I was demented after it.
So what did you study over the four years?
Fine art.
Fine art, okay, wow.
So I majored in print and textiles.
Okay. But at that stage, cool. Did you just have this interest, like you liked dressing, like you liked fashion? And
I got a grant and I used to, my parents paid for my rent and in Cork. So like I could have just stayed at home like in Bandon. Yeah. But I was like, I have to live the life.
Okay.
So I used to spend all of my grant money on clothes. So I used to love Prime Time. I was like, into
I still love Prime Time.
I still love Prime Time. It was Gas, always baggy jeans. And everyone's like, oh my God, like you're the best dressed student ever. But I never, like back in that time, nobody was a stylist or.
Yes.
I used to love, it was so funny. I saw him recently. Pat O'Mahony, a Barbara from head to toe.
Remember that?
Yeah. He was on First Dates. Anyway, I used to love them. I used to love like Thelma Mansfield.
I know, the glam of it.
The glam.
And they used to push boundaries in Ireland at that time.
I always was like into the glam. Never had any money, but into the glam. That was grand. And then spent all my grant money on clothing. Grand.
How did you end up styling then? Did you literally leave college and say, I want to do this?
So I left college with my fine arts degree and I was like, what am I going to do with
Where
this?
Where do I go? Because there is this feeling after college of, is someone going to knock on my door now and say, here is your forever job.
I was like, but my parents now, to be fair to them, and my grandparents were always like hard workers.
Mm.
You work it. Like, so I was in college, but I always had a part-time job. So I
you
was
a good
working
work
in River Island and just loving work. And I loved work. And like, I would always do loads of extra stuff in work as well. And then, so graduated and I moved to London and that was a rude awakening.
What age were you when you went to London?
20.
Okay,
so
cool.
Like now in Cork, I was like in my little world.
I know.
Big fish, small pond.
Okay.
Then I went to London and I was like, I am a nobody here. Like everyone was like, look at this.
But you know when you're that age and you're 20 and you head off, you
world.
Have no kind of preconceived notions of anything. I think as we get older, we the fear comes in. We get a bit cynical. We're afraid to take risks. Whereas that's the perfect age to, like, I wish it I could is. Stay like that forever.
And you think, like, you think of 20-year-olds now, right? I think of even when Rachel's 20 and I'm going, I wouldn't let her go to London on her own. I wouldn't let her go away on her own.
The fear. Yeah, and the fear. And I'm like,
that's right.
Be able for it.
But actually, they would. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just us as adults. Now you're going, because that sounds like, I was 21 when I went away as well. You were 20.
Yeah.
That sounds so young. Do you know what I mean? You go, what did I know?
I went over. I thought I was going to get off the plane and like bust onto the scene. And then people were like, who's this young one? Like, I worked in a bar when I went over there first. Then I managed a bar. And like, the English crew.
What age were you when you managed the bar?
21.
Ah, no way. Fair play to you.
Now, we were mental. We used to be drinking behind the bar and the guy who owned it loved me and he was like, just manage this. And I was like, I can do it. Do you know, you're like,
I can do anything.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But you'd roll up your sleeves and you'd get, because you had the work ethic.
I used to do everything. I used to actually have 3 jobs. I used to like work in the morning, go into the bar at night, have another job in between. I was just like, I'm making money, doing whatever. Yeah. And then I got to work for Topshop and then Happy Loves with the designer, and that's
in London.
Yeah.
And how long did you stay there? So
I was there for about 2 years.
You probably learned more in that 2 years. Not just from a personal development point of view, but from fashion than you would have done if you spent another 4 years in college.
Oh, completely. It was like baptism of fire. So it was like, I'm managing all these jobs, I'm working. Then I got the fashion job and I was like, oh my God, I love this. And it was just like, we were styling things and I was like, oh, I've never even realised styling. And
yeah,
like,
was a thing.
Yeah, having things out. And I was like, yeah, this is what I want.
So you
do.
Got to kind of put your creativity out through your hands onto clothes. And that was for you, the start of it.
Like, yeah.
Pam, you went to New York at 21.
I did. Yeah, I went to New York with my best friend, Tanya, who's still there, actually.
Wow.
And amazing. Like that, no, right? Talk about bust onto the scene. You're like, I just thought like
you're
I was
like,
going to.
Hey,
yeah,
world.
I'm in New York.
I arrived.
And like that, we had, I think I had $500. She had a bit more. She had about $700, right?
She was coining it in.
I only had $500 because my Aunt Phil gave me $300. Actually, yeah, she gave me $300 in an envelope before I was going away. But I was actually on the way over with $200 until she gave me that.
Yeah.
Because we spent all our money on going out and in Morgan. Do you remember Morgan?
Oh my gosh, outfits.
Yeah. Lads, Morgan.
My wages, I used to put deposits and things down at Morgan, yes. And my whole week's wages used to go on it, and then I'd have to get a loan off my mother to go out.
And so for anyone listening who doesn't know what Morgan was,
dying, that's just like nostalgia.
I know, it was a beautiful shop. My friend Claire worked there, actually.
She did.
On Oliver Plunkett Street, and it was the place. If you were out on a Saturday night, someone would come up to you, Morgan, and say, that's Morgan, and you were living.
And you've made it when you were in Morgan. You were broke.
And go, she must have a good job for herself now. She's right. Wearing Morgan.
No money for food. Me and Tanya went. We didn't save. We just took our week's wages and we
but you
had our
went.
Ticket.
And
we
went. And you believed and you went.
We
doing
stayed
this.
In a hostel in Times Square. I'll never forget it, right? We didn't care where we stayed. There was me and Tanya and Debbie and Gillian. And Debbie and Gillian came home. They were going over for the week to bring me and Tanya over.
And did you go with the intent now of getting into the hair industry?
No, I went. I went with a wide open intent. Mm. I went kind of going, not knowing. Tanya wanted to travel for a while, so she wanted us to see America with her $700. so she wanted us to travel, and I didn't. I just wanted all I knew, like you, was how to, I know how to work. I'm a good hard worker, and I knew in the back of your mind, you always know that will get you somewhere.
You
it's
you
worth
do
something.
Something. Yeah. My you parents something. Are like. Do anything.
That's right.
Make your money. Do a job.
You'll always turn your hand to something.
Something. And I was so excited about getting to work somewhere. I didn't care where. And then when I got there, we had loads of fun for the first week, and we went out and we partied and all the rest of it. We spent most of our $500 and our $700
and in about 3 days,
as you do in the week. And we stayed in this grotty old hostel. It was so funny. We were followed home and everything one night. When I think of like the age we were and how vulnerable we were, and we lived like
life experience,
and that was grand. And one day we were out, and the next morning we got up to go out to go to somewhere else we were going to, and there was these builders across the street. And one of them walked into the deli. We were walking past a deli beside the hostel on Times Square. You could imagine this grottiness now, right? And we walked past the deli, and I thought I needed a glass of water because I was like, you know.
Yeah.
And
and for listeners who can't
see us.
I'm fresh
from a wedding.
Natasha's fresh from a wedding. And when I say fresh, she arrived in Sunday morning, shoes off in her hand, blazer over the dress. She's a bit of a legend.
She looks fabulous, by the way. But I decided I wanted a bottle of water, so I went into the deli. I said, hang on girls, I'm just going to go into the deli. Went into the deli, and this builder from across the road that had been working across the road was beside us, and he heard my accent, and he said to me, where are you from? He was from Northern Ireland, and he said, where are you from? And I said, oh, Cork. And he said, what are you doing here? And I said, oh, I'm looking for a job. Like straight away I was like, I'm looking for a job. And he said, geez, that's funny. He said, what do you do? And I was telling him I'm a hairdresser. And he said, a friend of mine just opened a salon up on Second Avenue.
Oh,
he said,
God.
She's looking for European stylists because American stylists weren't as qualified. You know, in a year, you're a qualified cosmetologist, which meant you can do nails, hair, whatever you can. But there was no experience with it. So she was looking for European and Irish hairstylists. So he said, here's her card, go up. So Tanya and the girls all wanted to travel around New York and do sightseeing. And I was like, I'm going up to Second Avenue. I'm getting a job
You're
today.
Working,
like, and Tanya was like, no, don't. She said, wait a while. She said, we'll work around for a while. You can go up there tomorrow. I said, no, I'm going up now. So they all came with me. And they so we went up, got out of the cab. They went over to a bar. And I walked in and I said, is Alice here? And one of my closest friends now, Louise, said, no, she said, she's just gone out. Do you want to sit down there for a second? Anyway, Alice came back and I said, hi, I met Christopher Hurd, was your man's name, down in a deli on Times Square. And he said, you're looking for an Irish hairdresser. And she said, great. She said, how long are you here for? I said, I don't know. we're just here.
Which must have been a dream for her to hear, because she was like, this is great.
Yeah, but I'd say she was thinking as well, is she living out of a bag? Is she living on the street?
It didn't matter because you were wide-eyed, bushy-tailed.
So she said, start next week for a trial and we'll see how you go. And I started next week, and then that was it. I was there.
How
I was
long
grounded.
Were you there, Pam?
4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, and I worked for her for 4 years.
I actually visited it was nearly 8 or 9 years ago now. We were going to New York, myself and Timmy, and you had told me to pop in. I went in for a blow dry and I met Annalise's Irish originally herself.
She's Northern Irish. Oh, yeah, she is.
Yeah, and she's just this like big, beautiful personality, so warm and welcoming. I felt like I was in your salon. Like there was just feeling of like, welcome, you're one of the girls, sit down. And it was more than just a blow dry.
It's
and
very personal.
It's the same in your salon. Yeah. I think, you know, you can have your business, but it's the heart and soul in the business. Yeah. So that obviously you were soaking that in from such a young age.
From such, do you know, Alice is one of the most grateful people I've ever met. She's so grateful to be where she is. She's grateful for everyone she meets. Like she gave me, I'm always so grateful to her. She gave me like that now, a little hub to grow myself. Do you know that kind of way? And I met my best friends there. Like I've loads of different groups of friends. I've my best friends from when I was a young girl.
Your
from
school.
They're still my best friends. There's about five of us in the group and we're friends since we were, Tanya's one of them actually. She lives in New York as well.
And are they your friends that no matter how many years apart you are, Christ. You come back and it's like you were talking yesterday.
You have
they're
all to around have your crew like.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then, so there's those friends, and then there's my friends from Alice, right? And again, now, another part of me grew when I was in Alice, and that little family that I'm godmother to Louise's daughter. I actually went in to have her baby with her.
What?
Yeah, I delivered her. Her partner was off at war.
I always wanted to birth a child with somebody.
It's all coming out.
I was there to my phone. I was like, please, if you have another child, can I just come out? I was like, I'm going to make
it. Do you watch One Born and everything?
Always.
You're qualified,
I weep. I'm like, then my friend Marie was like, no, I can't watch. She's like, that's a glossy version of hell.
It's amazing. It is amazing.
So you did that with your friends.
I did. You know, yeah. And like all those things, like amazing things have happened to me all through the years, right? These things where you don't realise they're so amazing at the time, but when you step back 2 weeks later, you go,
you have to take like all the opportunities.
Yes.
Like that's what I've totally learned from work and life. Now it's like, you take the opportunities and you do something and it might seem at the time like, oh, whatever, you know, not great.
Yeah.
It leads to something else.
And I always find that you never know until you're in it. Yeah. And as Pam said, you don't know like what could come from that or who you might meet at that or a new connection.
Yeah.
Like when we set up Cork Fashion Week 11 years ago, we had just met some designers who were getting on airplanes, flying off to London and Paris where they could, you know, get very viable jobs rather than our small population here. And we kind of felt like, why are we not celebrating these really talented people and nobody hears about them once they're gone? So we decided to put on some shows. And I remember Viv and I telling people we were doing it and they were like, Cork Fashion Week, come on, Cork Fashion Week. Like, it's not for the Ted Now girls, come on. But we had that unstoppable belief in what we were doing, that we were like, no, this is happening. Yeah. And there was no question. We did not have any sponsorship when we started it. No, there was no money, but we had heart and soul.
And I think could be done. Yeah.
And I think now I'm at a stage after the kids in business where I think business started to be bigger than me and I started to worry too much about the business side of everything and doubting and strategy and getting caught up in all these new things, you know, that like really thinking about things.
Yeah.
And now with the kids, I've changed my perspective and everything. I'm back and I'm like, myself and Viv just feel like, let's just do things again.
That's right.
Let's not worry what people might think or might say or if it might work, if it might not work. Yeah. Let's just do it.
Just do it.
Give it a go. Yeah. Like, it's like going back to your 21-year-old self again.
Yeah, put one foot in front of the other and just do it.
Yeah.
And like, we're all reading books about this strategy and you know, this new type of way of doing things and this new mindset and this new... And you're right. Just put one foot in front of the other and just
go back to basics.
Things always work out.
They do. I see it all the time.
I'm like,
they do.
So I'd be there and I have this project going on, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm like stressed, anxiety, panic attacks. And then I just step back and I go, hang on now. You were doing this with this other thing, panicking, whatever.
Yeah.
And it worked out and it was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go you're with right. It. That is my mantra for life. Things, and they do. Things always work out. Whether it's a family thing or whether it's a work thing or whether it's an emotional thing. It could be anything.
Yeah.
If you just sit through it, it will always be all right.
Always works out.
It does.
If you're like, you've put the work in, you know what you're doing.
You do. Yeah.
And I'm always like, I'm not performing heart surgery.
Yeah.
No one's going to die if I pick the wrong shoe with something. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and we do, like, self-doubt. Pam and I were speaking about this a while ago. Self-doubt does creep in with age a little bit. Yeah. And I can personally say my own internal critic is very strong. And only since I've recognised that in the last 2 years that I kind of have little chats with myself, and I check in with myself every day and go, hang on, I'm living in my head a bit at the moment. I'm overthinking things.
Yeah.
Just do it. Just go and do it. And things are always fine.
What I find myself saying to Rachel a lot, actually, she's a little bit of a worrier, you know. She's like, she reminds me of myself when I was younger. And I constantly say to her, they're only thoughts, Rachel. They're not real. You know,
great,
it's only
point.
A thought. And I say that to myself all the time. And every young kid out there and every teenager and everybody, every grown woman, every grown man, it's only a thought. It's not real. You know what I mean? They're these thoughts that creep into your head. And they're not real. And let them be there.
Yeah.
Don't even fight them. Just let them be there and they'll fall back out again.
And isn't it great? You know, when you're like so worried about something and then you do it and then you like, you come away and you're like, I did that. You're like, yes.
I really believe like people can worry too much about staying inside the lines in their industries and their business, and nothing kind of like groundbreaking ever comes from following all the rules sometimes.
It doesn't.
And, you know, like conforming is probably the one thing we shouldn't do in fashion because it is a creative industry and it evolves now so quickly. Trends come and go so fast. Everything moves very quick, and the internet has changed that, which is another day's conversation altogether. But like, it's about not being afraid to kind of branch out. Like when you came back, like setting up your own businesses, Pam, like, was that a scary jump for you?
It wasn't. Like, people ask me that all the time. It wasn't, because I was so young and I was so naive that I had no idea what it entailed.
Okay.
I just thought, Emer, that I can do hair and I can do it really well, because I was building I built a great clientele before I left, and I built a fabulous clientele in New York. And so the proof was there. And then I thought, I came back with no intent really to stay. We came back just to be at home for a while. And I went back to the galley, actually, Sinead, another...
Oh, and Douglas, I remember that.
Yeah, the galley. Yeah, that's where I was as well. And Sinead, my boss from the galley, such a beautiful person. And she, there was someone went out on maternity leave. So she said, look, can you come back and fill in the spot? Mm. While I was back, I was coming back for the
there
month.
You go, like things working out without you trying.
That's right.
Just take every opportunity.
That's right. Mm. And I went back in there and... just again, I was in my head going back to America. And I was going, this is just for a week. This is just for another week. This is just for another week. And she was leaving then. So she said to me, look, I am leaving and going to Middleton. I'm going to sell up and Staunton and Burn. Actually, we're buying it.
Okay.
And I didn't want to. She said, you could stay. And I said, there's no point in me staying, actually, because I'm going to be going back to America.
Yeah.
Like, so
okay,
I thought, I'll get my own little unit. There was a thing came up on the paper, a unit to let in Morrison's Island. And it was attached to a big internet cafe.
I remember.
And do you remember it? And
I remember going in to visit you, and there was
in the little place
two wash basins. Yeah. There was like one mirror, two
I
sections.
Loved it. It was like Steel Magnolia. It was.
And you went in through the internet cafe to get there.
This dodgy internet cafe with all the windows painted, right, and all these boards up everywhere for people to. At the time, no one had the internet at home hardly, or on their phone.
But you know what I love now? If you were to go look for premises today after over a decade in business, you'd be like looking at location, looking at parking.
You would.
You didn't think of any of that. You were like, no, this is going to work. Emer, I'm going to make it work.
The windows were painted black, right? So I went in. I just saw. I think he wanted at the time. He wanted €250 a week off me, and I was like, that's very calculated. And I was like, I could give him that definitely, because I could do this many heads now and blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Didn't think for a second about taxes or anything like that, right?
Oh, yeah,
or
that's a rude awakening.
So I went in anyway to check the place out. Brought Santi with me, my partner. And he was like, are you on drugs? What the hell is it? Because it was just the internet cafe. Your man brought me over. He goes, look, you see that patch of floor there? That's what's for rent.
And I
was
a corner. Going,
a corner with black lino and the windows painted black. And I was like, that's grand. Yeah, I'll take that. Santi was going, are you on drugs? What the hell? What are you doing? And I said, look, if you put a wall up there and a wall up there, and if we took that window away, it would be grand. I said, we're going back to America anyway.
But look how you had the vision.
Like,
you didn't have mood boards all over your house.
No, I didn't.
You went in and you, again, like, knew this was going to work. So you just saw, you stood in a patch in an internet cafe and saw walls that weren't up yet, saw your basins and saw yourself doing hair, and it happened.
I did. And I knew that at today, like I can do this today. I didn't think about the future. I actually didn't even think about Soapy Brown down the line, or I had no aspirations. I just needed a place, a clean, steady place. It wasn't clean at the time, to work. So anyway, we scratched off the window, right? The paint off the window. And I looked out the window. Did you see the view? The
so
view
gorgeous.
In my
yeah.
I didn't even see the view.
Across the city hall. Over the river.
We took off the paint off the window and I went, Jesus, look at the view. It was like a gift from God. There was a sign actually on the wall, a graffiti sign on the wall as you're passing down towards my place. It was that, you know, there's a building there now and it's derelict, but it was supposed to be a hotel. It was attached to the Bank of Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
There.
Yeah.
There's a sign on the wall saying, this too shall pass, right? And they painted over
that's
it.
That's my mantra for the kids, for all the phases of the kids.
It came through. And every day for years, I looked at that sign and went, no matter what, like some days you're high as a kite because you've had a great week.
Yeah.
Other days then you're like, Jesus Christ. But that sign, every single time I pass, I go, this too shall pass. And it always does.
It does.
The sign is gone now, but it's embedded in my head.
And you have to just like, Rob is always like, to me, he's like, you're just so determined.
Yeah.
Like, and then you never think it about yourself. I'm always like, oh my God, I'm bluffing it. I'm doing this. And he's like, no, when you get it into your head, like you're determined.
And you know what? Like you just said there that you think, oh, I'm bluffing this.
Imposter. Like my friend was like, does everyone else feel like this? And I said, girl, we're all imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Like we all think, oh my God, like I'm not. Able, I'm not doing this.
Am I good enough?
Yeah.
But shouldn't we change our inner voice? Imagine if we could be as kind to ourselves as we are to our children, to our friends.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine how different every day would be if you could turn around that inner voice and be nice to yourself.
That'd be great.
And you have to be like, even people are always like, oh, I can't believe you're doing this job and doing blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I should actually just think about myself, what other people think about. Because in my head, I'm going,
I think a lot of us could agree with that, though.
I'm bluffing this.
And everyone does.
Tell me, Natasha, when you came back, how did you get into fashion? What was your first job when you came back?
So I had, all through college, I'd worked in River Island and it was on Patrick Street at the time. And I've made friends for life there. Oh my God. It was the best time. We'd all like, you get paid on a Friday, you buy your bits and pieces and then you'd go over to Le Chateau.
Oh, right.
We'd be boozing.
That was only for posh people when, like, when I was younger.
We'd be like, right, finish work, over to Le Chateau. You could lose all your purchases then, like, the whole night. But anyway, we'd be loving life anyway.
You just lived from week to week.
And I loved, like, I loved college, but I loved working.
Yeah.
I was always, like, a worker. So, like, I'd always do extra hours. I loved working more than I loved college. So I was like, right, grand. And then went to London, worked there like a dog, and then came back and I was like, went back to River Island.
Yes.
So I was like doing bits and pieces there. And then we moved over to Upper Lane. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, I need
more.
I always like wanted to be my own boss.
Okay.
And just work for myself.
Now, Upper Lane, now that you've bought it up, you are the stylist on Upper Lane.
Yeah.
And I think Upper Lane changed the face of shopping in Cork for
changed
sure.
My shopping gave me, like, I wouldn't be where I am without them. They gave me so many opportunities.
And they employ a lot of people there, a lot of students, a lot of people full-time, part-time.
So there, it's like, there's so much opportunity there.
And how did you make the jump from working on the lane to being the stylist of the entire lane?
I was working and I was like, you know what, now I have to do something. I'm always like, what can I do now? What can I do
what
next?
What else could I
like,
do?
What can I be doing?
I think that's a real entrepreneurial spirit anyway.
Yeah. I was like, there's something more for me. Like,
yeah.
I know there's something more. Just left the job. Was like, do you know what now? Handed him my notice. Gave him a month's notice. I was like, I'm just going to set up my own. So I'd been doing like a night course in styling.
Okay.
And then I was like, nobody even knew what styling was.
Yeah.
There was no like personal shoppers or stylists really.
It's something you saw in Gossip Girl or, you know.
Yeah, I think I saw, there was somebody, Trini and Susanna.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I could do that. Grand. And I just left and I just set up on my own. And then I met Julie in Upper Lane. I was like, do you know what? Do you need a personal shopper in Upper Lane? She was like, oh, I was thinking I might do. And I was like, interview me.
I'm your girl.
I'll do it.
And that relationship is that relationship. You and Julie are like long lost sisters.
We're like besties.
I mean, it must be 10 years on now.
10 years on.
And what I love about your service is, when, and obviously it's not just Upper Lane, but when it comes to the Upper Lane service, you can log on to the Upper Lane website and book free personal styling with you. I did it after
2 hours with me.
Yeah, that's amazing. 2 hours, and you don't have to pay. So, like, after I had Erin, I was in a major fashion funk, and you know, your body shape is all wrong and everything.
And I was those pants.
I kept wearing these elasticated waist.
Oh, yeah, like, your safe
print
pants.
Yeah, the safe pants.
I was like, Emer.
Ditch the pants.
Ditch the pants.
And Pam, you've been over in the RTÉ studios. I think it's so great that RTÉ Cork do.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. It's fantastic that it's on our doorstep, because I think in fashion, when we started out 10 years ago, Viv and I, there was a little bit of a perception that if your service was outside of Dublin, it was inferior, maybe that all the cool things happened in Dublin, and look, there's creative people all over the country, and we don't all flock and move now. We're happy to be here.
It doesn't have to be like Dublin centric.
No, and there's such an amazing cultural scene in Cork anyway.
There is.
So to have that platform is amazing, that it's broadcasted from Cork every day.
People like sometimes don't realise
how much
that
extra
you put in.
Yes.
Like, people rock up and just go, yeah, so I think I'm going to be a stylist. Da, da, da. And you're like, actually, I've worked every job there is. Like, I've done everything. I didn't just rock up and be a stylist.
But you know, maybe one day, Natasha, years ago, you probably decided the same thing. Do you know what? I'm going to be a stylist. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's that innocence, you know, the not knowing is beautiful. And that's what I love, actually, is that people, like, there's some of the girls inside and work now, like, there's one girl, and I keep telling her name is going to be in lights. Like, she's, she just, that beautiful innocence of, like, I'll do it. Come here. I'll do it.
I'll do that.
I'll be there. She has no idea.
She puts the work in, though.
She does. She does, right? But she would open a salon tomorrow. If I gave her the keys tomorrow, she would open a salon.
But I think there's a difference with someone who's like, yes, I'm going to put the work in, to someone who just thinks,
well, I think they naturally sieve out. You know what I mean? Like, those people naturally, those people that aren't willing to work naturally sieve out. But I love that everyone has the same idea. Yeah. Everyone decides, like, if I'd hate if that left people. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
That thing that you had. We all had it.
Yeah.
You do have to work.
You have to work.
I do think, from what Natasha's saying, I come across a lot of younger kids who are more, how do I say this now? They're more driven by an ego or popularity to social media, because of social media. Their goal is to be at working at the event, but to show people online that they're at this fabulous event, and that they get loads of likes for it, and what are they wearing at the event. And but it's not they don't see the business side for the customer who's booking and paying for the event.
They miss the process, like, you know what I mean? They miss
because at events, I'm slogging in the back.
Yes, I've seen you. We had an event this Friday night.
A maniac, like, in the background.
We had an event on Friday night, and literally, you were not to be seen. You were on your hands and knees. But people miss that, I think. And that's maybe the innocence of the, oh, okay, so I watch the Kardashians, and I think if I put up a few pictures in a bodycon dress, and I get 10,000 likes. But brands will pay those young kids to talk about
they're
things.
They're after creating a little niche for themselves, like, in their own little right.
But I do hope that the wheel turns, and I do think there's only longevity if you get
in hard work.
In hard work.
Hard
and graft
work pays off.
We should get a t-shirt with that. We should have t-shirts. Yeah. When I first opened the salon, I sent an email to the Fashion Council, the British Fashion Council, to see if me and my sister Jess could go to it, right? Because I just wanted to go to it.
Yeah.
And you know, you can't just arrive up, you have to get
to be invited
and all that,
right?
So anyway, they never even read the email, I'd say. But my goal since I was a child was to work backstage at Fashion Week. It really was. It was like, you know, even when I worked in Victor Frank's, you know, that sounded so far-fetched that I couldn't even have it as a goal at the time, because it sounded so far-fetched.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
But the world is such a small place now.
Oh my God, such a small
place. And I love that you had the again, bring it back to basics. Just ask.
Just
reach out. People actually love to be asked.
Yeah,
and you might get 9 no's, but it's the 10th email.
It is.
Could be the yes.
Yeah. And we train... We kept training up. You do editorial training for Fashion Week, right? And we kept that training up every year in the salon. It cost a lot of money to do it.
Okay.
And we kept it up for 10 years, right? And
so you invested
every year
all the time.
And we never got called. So it's like you're on the bench and you're just hoping every year. And they send you an email every year to go, listen, the training is here. Do you want to come on the training, the editorial training this year? And you have to do that training to stay up to date and be ready to be called off the bench.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the 10th year, I was actually starting to go, do you know what? Now, that's a lot of money to be training like that. And
wouldn't it be easy to say, let's not do this?
Like, because it wasn't just me. There was a few of us doing it. And I was kind of going, will we just stop and, you know, not have the editorial training? And that, I got an email. Actually, the receptionist that was there at the time, she was sick and she missed the email. And I was looking through the emails myself that night. And I was actually having that thought that week.
Yeah.
And the email came through year 10 of being on the bench.
Yeah. The 10th year
of sitting on the bench going, I wonder, would we get called for Fashion Week now this year? Would you like to join us for Fashion Week, Pamela?
Unbelievable.
And it was for Tina Outen. And we went over and
I loved following it online. Yeah. I loved your snaps and pictures.
It was amazing.
It's great to see someone you know from your little city over there in the thick of the heart of fashion. Like,
it was amazing. And there's five of us now on the team. So we're on the first options team. So we did 16 shows this year and we did New York Fashion Week and Susan did Paris Couture Fashion Week.
That is unbelievable.
Susan's qualified a year and she's an amazing stylist and upstylist. And, you know, to be able to put her, I had so much belief in her, to be able to put her forward onto Couture Fashion Week.
To represent your business and your brand. That's amazing.
She met Kylie Minogue and over in Paris.
It's real pinch me stuff, isn't it?
Me and Nicole went to Milan Fashion Week. We're on the first options team now, right? And every now and again, when I'm on my own at home, you have to have these moments as well. Every now and again, when I'm on my own at home, maybe on a Friday night, if Santi goes to bed early and Rachel's gone to bed and I have a glass of wine, every now and again, the thought occurs to me that, oh my God, we're on the first options team.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Jesus Christ. And we've been there.
And you think of your salon that was in an internet cafe.
Yeah.
And it just shows.
Steel Magnolia. Oh my God. I used to have to get my clients to sweep the floor for me. You know what I mean? And that, I have those moments and that is my proudest moment. Yeah. You know, you kind of go, where are your milestones? And you know, that's a huge milestone. Mm. That's not just me.
Like, I really realised after I had the kids, I'm not really caught up in what people think as much anymore. And there was great freedom and release and that in business for me in fashion. And because fashion is something that people commentate on and because everyone's a critic now behind their mobile phone or online, you know, you'd nearly be afraid to put up a picture yourself or you'd edit it. And then I got to a stage where I was like, I don't care if my Instagram isn't perfectly curated with a filter or if I put up, you know, something that isn't really perfect, because I'm not perfect and I'm okay with that. And if you're not okay with that, I'm okay with it too.
That's right.
Just follow someone else.
That's right.
But I wish I could get through to teenagers and some people who
I think
compare.
We will eventually, right? If we I hope other salons think like the way we think.
Yes.
Because eventually the hairdressing industry in Cork will be a fabulous, like, it'll be a fabulous and it will be a proud thing to do. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Some people will be leaving college going, what'll I do? I'll actually be a hairdresser. Do you know what
I mean? And actually, you know what I love about you, Pam, is I have come across you for many years working very closely with other salons in Cork, and you would have a great relationship with some of the other big salon owners. We can't name one because I'd have to name them all. But there's a great little network of a group of you that I look up to as people in business that come together and have made the industry something that across the country and outside now, because you are at all the fashion weeks across the world, people now know of our little place here because of ye. But ye do pull together, and I think for any businesses that don't, regardless of what you're in, as you said, you're going down a slippery slope. You're not growing yourself, or you're not going to get the best out of your team and your staff. You know, working on your own, Natasha, do you find it hard? Like, you're always working with organisations, you're meeting people all the time. Do you have to be a self-starter or a good self-motivator to start up your own business as a stylist and build that?
Oh, completely. Yeah, it's like you have to like try and structure yourself to be a business. And like nobody's going to come and give you, here's a job. You literally have to just
hustle, go get it.
Hustle, work for every job. Just put yourself out there. And like, even a small thing, you might be like, oh, I'll do this now, but allergic.
Yeah.
And then you get, and it's like, you meet somebody else at it and it leads to another job. So
yes,
you have to be somebody who can like motivate yourself
and flexible as well, that you're willing to kind of turn your hand to anything. I suppose, you know, I know both my grandmothers had over 10 children, and I can't even wrap my brain around that. And they didn't, it was not an option for them to go to college or to follow a career path. And we're just so, so lucky. To kind of wind things down, I wish we could stay another hour, but to wrap things up for anyone listening who would like to get into fashion and beauty in some way, they're listening at home and maybe they're from a home environment where it's a lot is expected of them in academia, like that they, you know, are expected to go to college and go down maybe a more business path, or where creativity isn't understood as much as at home. What advice would you give them, Natasha?
Just like, it is possible to do it, but just work, just put the hours in.
Get a part-time job, maybe.
I always have had like a part-time job. It's only in the last 2 years that I've fully like gone self-employed doing this.
That's really interesting, because Viv and I have been the same. Like through the recession, we always would turn our hand to other jobs, take up something else, just so that there was always bread on the table, because we're resourceful. I don't know, is that a female thing? I don't know, is that, you know, the entrepreneurial spirit, but we're resourceful, and it's about putting bread on the table at the end of the day. And we never lost sight of that. But getting your own job, like I find, especially with some of the models, like they put themselves through college because they have this part-time job. They don't have to ask mom and dad for money at home. So I think just getting that other job gives you a lovely ethos, work ethos.
And like, don't be afraid to be like, oh yeah, I'm doing this other, like there's no shame in like doing some other random job. Like, grant, it allows you then to do other things.
So. And hustling is cool.
And the other thing is, like, your parents aren't always right. Yes. They love you, and like,
it comes from a good place.
It comes from a good place, and but they don't know you like you know you. Mm. I was very lucky that my parents always embraced me and myself.
My parents are the same. But they're always like, live your dream.
That's right. Like, my mom and dad were great for that. And I think of them all the time. You know, that they had so much faith in me, having faith in myself. So if
my
I wanted to.
My parents were always like, you do what you want to do.
Do what you want to do. Yeah.
So
go for it.
You never listen to us. So she'll always do what she wants
to do. That's right.
Anyway.
And they left you at it. Like, we're very lucky for that. But there are people out there that their parents aren't so embracing of their own natural personality. And to those people, you know, you're. Parents aren't always correct. They love you and they will support you, but you have to have faith in yourself. And if they say that you're wrong, if you believe you're truly not, you don't have to. You can agree with them for peace at the time, but don't ever lose your spirit.
Yes.
Like, put one foot in front of the other and keep that relevant in your head. But trust yourself. Above all, trust yourself and listen to your gut and be good to yourself.
And you can do what you love.
Yeah. You can
if
do anything.
Something, like it, and I feel, again, it's another whole podcast, but the internet has changed everything. You know, kids are like up in their bedroom on Snapchat instead of being out meeting their friends face to face. It's just through a phone now. Put down the phone and life is happening around you. Other people are getting opportunities. Right. Don't be the one who, you know, drifts through college, like wondering about the next Instagram picture. Yeah. And like, life is happening all around you. Put the phone away and like,
don't be afraid to be wrong.
And to be different to your friends.
That's right. Yeah. And ask people for help. Ask teachers. Put your hand up when you don't know the answer. You're only going to be judged if you are going to be judged for 10 seconds. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you could let it go.
And do you really care about those people who are going to judge you? Where will they be in 10 years time when you're flying doing your thing?
And you'll always regret the things that you don't do.
And things you don't ask.
Like the whole point of the Life Hustle that me and Viv set this up is because there were so many people we were encountering who had anxiety about their lives, what was going to happen in the future. And it was dragging them down and holding them back from being themselves. And a lot of it came from online. Some of it came from home. Some came from peers, but the basic core thing is that people worry a lot about other people's expectations of them.
But the other thing, right, about anxiety, I've discovered is anxiety everyone has it. We all we're all branding, right? So people are branding themselves. I suffer from anxiety.
It's a label.
We all suffer from anxiety. Anxiety means you're alive and you want to move forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like anxiety, I get anxiety when I'm up against a challenge or I have a worry or I've, it means you're alive and stuff is happening. You know what I mean? Mm. Personally, I'm just after buying a house and it's not built yet. So
yeah, I know. That's a big project.
I feel like a real adult now. You know that I have roots. I'm adulting. So that is a biggie. And there's a few things in the pipeline for the business, actually. And we're just, I can't wait to see, again, which one we'll pick up on.
Brilliant.
I'm just so grateful. But what I honestly, this is my week, actually, of going, Jesus, this is great. I'm so grateful for the people that I have around me. I really am.
I think we should maybe reconvene.
Oh my God, can we do this again?
Let's do another one.
Next time, I'm going to have the night out.
You can rock in hungover. Now I need to go home and die.
Well, Viv will be with me the next time and let's see what kind of feedback we get. And maybe people could ask us, because you're both so interesting, you've both been in business so long, maybe people could just drop us a line on email or when the podcast goes up with maybe different angles of this conversation or other aspects of business or fashion and beauty that they would like us to get into. And maybe we'll get together with an old glass of wine and hit the podcast again. It would be great. So Natasha Crowley, you can be reached online. Instagram and Facebook and
Instagram.
F Stylists.
Fashionstylist.ie.
And you can be booked at on the opera lane.com website for free personal styling for 2 hours, which is amazing. Pam and her team can be reached right across social media platforms under Sobe Brown, S-O-B-E Brown. And any questions that you might have on a career in hair,
please do. Reach out to us. Bring it on.
I love that.
Especially about
people are afraid, but actually, don't you love to give advice?
Oh, come here. People contact me.
That's right.
Thank you for joining me, girls. It's been such a hoot. I really, really enjoyed it. This has been our Be in Fashion and Beauty podcast in association with Cork's Red FM. We are The Life Hustle. Thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this episode and we hope you have a good day. Thank you.
Have a good day.